to the exiled, to the chosen and the tested, to the ancient and the destined, to the wretched and the blessed. Raised with kings and prophets, holy books copied by scribes, the rules and codes of the covenant, a member of the tribe. The tribe. Drew the lines and set the limits. I knew which I could not cross. For the survival of a people who have wandered but never been lost. There he stood on the outside, and the signs. He didn't know what I meant when I said I was a member of the tribe. The tribe. I said, don't you know what I am? Doesn't it show on my skin? He said, no, I see you deeper.
That's Sharon Goldman with The Tribe from her latest album, Kalisha, A Woman's Voice. It's an album that focuses on her life experience growing up in an Orthodox Jewish family on Long Island and follows her own journey of discovery within an ancient religious tradition steeped in ritual. And Sharon Goldman is our special guest on Folk Roots Radio today. It's great to be able to talk to you.
Oh, thank you so much for having me. I really appreciate it.
So I've been following your music over the past few years, and I think that this is, yes. Is this album number 7?
Yes, that is, you truly have. This is number 7. I can hardly believe it, but that's how many albums I have under my belt at this point.
Now, this album's a little different from what's gone before, because your other albums have focused on issues of love, relationships, life, and the little things that tend to make the world go round. This album, though, really tends to focus on your upbringing and the fact that you did grow up within an Orthodox Jewish family. Why did you want to tackle a project like this?
Yeah, if you had asked me a couple of years ago whether I would be writing songs about this type of subject matter, I would have laughed heartily and said you were crazy. But, you know, after my last album was finished, which was back in 2014, I really found myself with this sense of writer's block. I just felt like I had nothing. I had sort of run the gamut of writing songs, as you say, about love, relationships, breakups, you know, the little things in life. And I found myself really looking and searching for something deeper to write about. And one thing that I had been thinking about was that so many of my music friends who are singer-songwriters, they really dig into their backgrounds. And, you know, often maybe that background is about growing up, I don't know, in Canada or in rural Midwest of the U.S. And, you know, that's not something that I could write about. I never really thought that going into my own childhood and background would be interesting to anyone, would be, you know, something to draw from. But instead, it really turned into a deep well artistically to draw from. So I was kind of surprised by that.
Did you find that it was somewhat of a cathartic experience to be tackling a subject like this at this time of life? You know, that we've all gone through, you know, different phases, you know, relationships, as you mentioned before. You get into that point of life where you start to look back and try and make sense of it all. Did it feel like that to you?
It really did. You know, I think that's one of the universal things about the project is that, you know, I am in the middle of my life. It's a universal feeling to kind of look back on your own existence and start thinking about your own journey. And so that's really what it was for me. In many ways, it was healing because it's a tradition that really I've run away from as far as possible over the past, I'd say, 15 years or so. And, you know, I really previously had not been willing to kind of go back there and delve into that, but it really allowed me to explore issues that I was conflicted about, that I had problems with, that I still hung on to from childhood, and allowed me to heal some of those feelings, even to talk things over with my family about different things. I even took a trip to Israel as part of the journey of the project, which is something I hadn't done in 20 years. So really it was an artistic journey, but in a way it was a personal journey as well that in some ways was hard. You know, it can be difficult to kind of look back on yourself and delve deeply into issues that you might have, you know, found hard. But on the other hand, it can be very cathartic and very healing.
I just wonder, how has the album been accepted within the Orthodox community? And I'm assuming there are members of your family who've remained steadfast in the tradition, how they look on a project like this.
Well, that was definitely something that I worried about. I mean, I really have not been a part of that community since I was, you know, in my mid-20s, you know, so for the past 20 years, I've really moved away from that. I'm very secular. Religious at all. I married someone who was not Jewish ultimately, and that's my life today. But yes, my family, my parents, you know, are still in this community. And I was concerned about what they might think. I certainly didn't want them to think I was throwing them under the bus or that I was, you know, trying to be offensive in any way. I certainly thought about people I had grown up with and what they would think. The truth is that this album has not really been introduced to the Orthodox Jewish community. I haven't, you know, played the songs, you know, for audiences from that world. But within my family and, you know, friends that I've grown up with that, you know, are still within that tradition, I was amazed at how supportive they were. I mean, you know, these are people that, you know, still, you know, hold on to these traditions, but they understood sort of where I was coming from and were very supportive of the project. And that was part of the healing process as well, the fact that I could be myself, that I could share this with them and they could, you know, take pride and joy in what I was doing, you know, and understand where I was coming from was really, really nice.
Listening to the album, reading about the album, my sense is that you have been very respectful in the way that you have introduced the subject and also the fact that you're saying to people, hey, you know, I was a woman growing up within this tradition. I've also discovered my voice as a singer-songwriter. But the way that you bring in aspects of the tradition, talk about different stories, comes over as being very respectful. Was that something that you really wanted to make sure that you had in there?
I mean, I certainly wanted to make sure that I was being as honest as I could, and I think I was. I should mention to your audience, perhaps, that one of the major elements that you'll find in the Orthodox Jewish tradition is a lot of gender stratification. So there's a lot of separation between men and women. At the synagogue that I grew up with, for example, men and women would sit on opposite sides. Men would take the leadership role in the community. Women were actually not really supposed to sing publicly in front of the congregation, in very strict situations, not in front of men at all. You know, and again, this is taken to different extremes, and my immediate family wasn't really like that, but the synagogue, the school that I went to, that's what I experienced. So I certainly really was trying to be very honest and not hide anything I was feeling. But on the other hand, because I also have, you know, a childhood love and nostalgia for how I grew up, I certainly wasn't trying to be consciously offensive either. So I feel like there's a lot of complex issues that I was dealing with within myself that I hope I brought to the music in a way that reflects that. And that's not just reflexively offensive. There's a range of emotions that I feel like went into each song.
It's interesting you say that, because this is usually the part of the interview where I would ask you about growing up and discovering your love of music. Now, as I understand it, you started playing in open mics in the early part of the 21st century and then discovered your voice through that. But I was just wondering when you decided you wanted to play guitar, and how easy was it for you as a woman growing up within this tradition to be able to explore music?
You know, I really did not even think about, I think it's something I always wanted to do. You know, growing up, I can even remember, you know, I always wanted to be someone who performed and who got up and sang. I grew up, you know, going to ballet school. I did play piano as a child, but in terms of performing, that really wasn't something that I feel like I had a lot of models for, you know, partially because of this community that I grew up in, but, you know, maybe also just because it just wasn't around me generally. But I feel like it was something inside of me that I always wanted, but maybe I just never felt like it was appropriate. I don't know. But after college, several years after college, that's really the first time that I took the step to perform in front of other people on my own as a musician. It was always something that I felt closeted about, that I would do in my room just, you know, secretly on my own. And it really was the idea of an open mic where anyone can come and play a couple of songs and stand on stage in front of their peers and an audience and play songs. That really opened the door for me. I didn't really know of a place, you know, before that I could do that. And that just set me off, and I don't think I've stopped ever since then. You know, that was about, you know, 16, 17 years ago at this point, and I've kept on ever since.
So we started off with The Tribe, which is the first track on the album. To me, it's somewhat of a scene setter that, you know, allows you to be introduced to the subject matter of the album. Is that a reasonable way of thinking about that song?
Absolutely. And I put that song at the top of the album for that very reason. You know, among Jewish people in their communities, it's kind of an inside joke to say that we're members of the tribe, you know, capital tribe. So you might say, hey, you know, you might see someone and kind of wonder, are they a member of the tribe? You might say M-O-T, member of the tribe. So I was thinking about that, just the idea of being in a tribe, in any tribe, and what it's like, you know, to kind of be bounded, you know, the boundaries of that tribe, and what it's like if you're thinking of going outside those boundaries, you know, whether you're in, you know, in any tribal community. So in my case, I was thinking about what it's like to, you know, for example, my husband is not Jewish, and he really didn't know anything about it when he met me. So to me, the idea that I was a member of a tribe was written on my face. You could just see it on my skin. But to him, he couldn't see that, and he had no idea there was a tribe. So, you know, I thought of that in a universal way as well. If you just think of issues like Syrian refugees or, you you know, just so many issues that we have in our country, in the U.S., what's going on. And you think about how we think of ourselves as so different in different tribes and what it means if you go beyond that and just see people as human beings. That's really what I was thinking about here.
So let's play another song from the album. I'd like to play Song of Songs, which is the second track. And it's a song, obviously, it goes back to really steeped in, as a title, in the Hebrew tradition. Can you talk about this song? And it certainly starts to introduce the separation between men and women, but also the importance of discovering your voice. Can you talk about this one?
Absolutely. So as I worked through writing the songs of the album, it was clear that there were many songs bringing women's voices into them. And this was another example of that. I decided to write a song where I took all of the lyrics, or most of them anyway, from the classic biblical love poem, the Song of Songs, which is really a conversation between two lovers, male and female. But what I really was taken by was a particular couple of phrases within that book. One of them is the male lover speaking to his female lover saying, "Let me hear your voice. Let me see your face. You are beautiful." And to me, that just spoke to the idea of here, he's wanting to hear her voice. He doesn't want her to hide away. He wants her to come out and show how beautiful she is and how beautiful her voice is. And so it was kind of like a sense of beauty and freedom and sensuality that I feel like comes across in this book in a way that I wanted to express as a feeling regarding all the songs.
Let's play that track just now. This is Sharon Goldman from her new album. It's entitled Kalisha, A Woman's Voice, and this is Song of Songs. And you're listening to Folk Roots Radio, and I'm Jan Hall.
Let me hear your voice. Let me see your face. You are beautiful. Let me hear your voice. Let me hear your voice. Lovely and sweet, clear as water. Let me hear your voice. He said, "Don't hide my dove in the cracks and the corners of the mountainside. Show me who you are, my love. Of the songbird has arrived. Let me hear your voice. Let me see your face. You in the garden. Let me hear your voice." Belong, he said, "Come sing to me the song of songs. Let me hear your voice. Let me see your face. You are beautiful, lovely and sweet. As water, hush me in et kolech. Let me hear you."
That's Sharon Goldman with Song of Songs from her new album, Kalisha. Sharon is our special guest on Folk Roots Radio today. We've been talking about some of the songs on the album, which really focuses on her upbringing within the Orthodox Jewish community in New York City. I thought at this point it would be interesting to talk about actually going from the songs, you know, the idea of doing a project like this to actually bring it all together, because obviously you need to find people that you wish to play with, you know, decide on where it will be produced, etc. Was it very easy to decide how you were actually going to move forward once you decided this is the project I want to do, these are the songs, and now let's start making it into an album?
It was pretty easy. I felt like I definitely had a vision musically about what I wanted to do. I'm someone who tends to need some help with the arrangements on the album, and I found a great partner in that. His name is Stephen Murphy, and he's a wonderful guitarist and, you know, musical arranger. Some people might know him if they know my good friend Sloan Wainwright. He is her longtime musical partner, and, you know, he came on board for this project to kind of help me arrange things. But I had a lot of ideas. One of those ideas is that I really wanted to bring the kind of folk music tradition that I've been steeped in for the past 10 years, you know, acoustic guitar finger picking, you know, some slide guitar, some dobro, you know, some kind of Americana roots feel and folk feel with some Middle Eastern sounds and Eastern European sounds as well. So I brought on a real oud player. The oud instrument is a Middle Eastern stringed instrument that I love. It has a real drone sound, and I really wanted to have an authentic oud player on the album. I brought in a harmonium player, which is typically, typically an Eastern instrument, although you hear it a lot, I think, in some Americana bluegrass stuff as well. I brought in some violin for a couple of the tracks that lend a real kind of Eastern European festive feel, and bringing those kind of two styles together, you know, in kind of an acoustic, folk, unique way, I thought was really what I wanted. And I was really pleased at the end to find that I feel like I achieved that. So that's exciting.
And I think you also had some percussion from Cheryl Prashker on there as well.
Oh, yes, absolutely. Cheryl Prashker is an old friend of mine. She's someone that I know from early in my days of going to open mics in New York City. Now, of course, people know her as the percussionist in the amazing Celtic band Runa. She plays with so many other people. So I was tremendously psyched to have her. And she was excited, too, because she has a lot of experience, I didn't know this, playing Middle Eastern percussion. She told me that she played in a belly dance band for many years. I think she also played in a Yiddish band for many years. So, you know, she always has, you know, amazing stories to tell. And bringing her on board was amazing, to have this, you know, real authentic percussive rhythms that brought so much to the project. So I was thrilled to have her.
And I think also being able to use harmony voices to try and give that feel that this isn't just your story. There are also obviously a lot of other women who have had to try and balance their position in the world with also, again, this religious tradition.
Absolutely. On the title track, it was so obvious that we needed a chorus of female voices to, you know, give the sense of women coming together to share their voices, to sing loud, to sing proud, so to speak. So, you know, I had some great harmonizers in my dear friend Amy Susie, Sloan Wainwright, Abby Gardner, Cheryl Prashker. It was great to have those voices on the record.
And let's play the title track just now, because I love that Middle Eastern flavor. This is a really good example of the way you were able to bring your own songwriting in there, but also bring that flavor from the Middle East as well. This is Sharon Goldman with the title track from her new album, Kalisha, A Woman's Voice. You're listening to Folk Roots Radio, and I'm Jan Hall.
Isha. Kol Isha, a woman's voice is naked, forbidden. Don't raise that sweet sound in front of men.
That's Sharon Goldman with Kalisha, a woman's voice, the title track from her new album. Sharon is our special guest on Folk Roots Radio today. And I feel really, I was going to say I feel blessed, but actually I'm really appreciating the conversation, because when I was getting ready for this interview, you know, I was a little concerned. It's like, well, I don't know if I know enough about the Jewish tradition to be able to understand the importance of an album like this, because I think to me, the more I learn about it, the more I understand why it was important for you to be able to actually look at this time in your life when you're growing up in this Orthodox Jewish family. But also, I think for the rest of us to understand, I think how important these traditions are to the people that are in them. You know, sometimes I get uncomfortable because I feel like these traditions are so rigid. You know, you talked about women and men being separated in even the way that they actually celebrate the tradition itself.
You know, I definitely worried a little bit about, you know, how to explain some of these things in a way that, you know, wouldn't sound like, you know, again, like I'm not trying to, this is sort of my experience, but I'm certainly not saying that, you know, everyone in the community that I grew up in is repressed or, you know, looking to get out or something like that. I mean, these are things that, you know, folks embrace, that they, you know, they might have their own opinions about or kind of push the boundaries, but they are, you know, living within these boundaries for a reason. And, you know, it wasn't for me, and it's something that I'm grateful that I am not a part of anymore, but, you know, it's something that it's still within me. You know, I have another song on the album called In My Bones, and it's like, you know, so many of these things are kind of steeped in you and part of you in a way that never go away. So, you know, I'm telling stories that are from my own experience, but, you know, I'm hoping that other people can connect with them and learn about it in a way that's universal to them as well.
Can we talk about the live performance of this and how it fits in with, you know, obviously the other albums that you've done? I noticed that, you know, you used a crowdfunding campaign to get this project off the ground. I'm assuming that went very well. Can you talk a little bit about where you're at this point? I think the CD release has happened, is that right?
Yes, just over the past couple of weeks, I've done a couple of different album release shows in New York and New Jersey. And, you know, going forward, I'm, you know, hoping to take this on the road. I'm actually going up to the Syracuse, New York area this weekend to do some shows. I'll be in Philadelphia and in Connecticut over the next month. And then, you know, I'm going to put my booking hat on, and I'm hoping to reach out to different folk venues, different alternative venues, maybe, you know, Jewish or women's venues, church venues, just any folks that might be interested in hearing these songs, that are interested in hearing a performance of the songs with all the stories that go along with it. Like we've been talking about, you know, songs and stories is really what I'm hoping to share, either alone or with my whole band. So it's very exciting now to finally have it out there, ready to share with other people. So it's very exciting. It's been terrific to get feedback from audiences so far, you know, folks from all backgrounds, you know, giving me feedback on what they heard and what they experienced from the song. So it's really, really exciting.
And it certainly strikes me that the opportunity to reach out, as you mentioned, into alternative venues, to seeing how different parts of the Jewish community embrace it, and an opportunity to talk and try and understand more about people's positions would be a very good thing. And again, I think the same thing from the point of view of the women's community. You know, that obviously there is your perspective, there is a feminist perspective to this, and then there is the traditional perspective, and opportunities to talk about all those things would be a great thing. I wanted to thank you for spending the time to talk to us today. We are going to play one more track, and I'll get to that in a second. But if people want to learn more about your music, how can they do that?
Everything you need to see and hear, you'll find on my website, which is SharonGoldmanMusic.com. And that has songs to listen to, videos. You can buy the physical CD or the download. There, you can check out where I'll be playing. You can send me an email and get in touch with me, sign up for my mailing list. So it's all there.
Now, the track we're going to finish with is a little different. It's actually a piano tune. And it's a song that I think really steps into the current situation in the Middle East. And I wanted to give you a chance to talk about that and why you wanted to have that on the album. That's the song Land of Milk and Honey. Tell us a little bit about that song and perhaps give us a little bit, you know, a perspective on where you are in relation to the current situation, you know, within Israel and Palestine.
You know, as I said, there's a lot of different emotions and kind of conflicted, both conflicted and loving feelings that weave throughout the songs on this album. And one of the themes that I return to a couple of times is around the idea that I spent a great deal of time growing up in Israel. That was a big part of the community I grew up in, to spend time there. I traveled there many, many times with my family, spending, you know, parts of the summer. I spent a semester of college there. I lived there for about a year and a half, a few years after college. You know, so until I was about 30, I spent a great deal of time there. And it's a place that Jewish people are raised to look towards and to love as a home kind of place. And so certainly I was raised to love it. And it's, you know, continues to be one of the most beautiful places that I've ever been. But of course, it's also a complex place. It's a conflicted place. And it's a place that I grew to feel a lot of discomfort around the political situation there. And, you know, it was I never thought I would go back because I felt so torn about it. And, you know, and it was very painful for me to have that kind of like conflicted love-hate feeling. So part of the journey of writing this album, I decided, you know, I needed to have some closure here. I traveled there last March just on my own. I wanted to, you know, see how things had changed over the past 20 years and spend time there. And it was really wonderful. I felt like I had, you know, time to see places where I had lived, where I had been, and spend time with family and friends. On the other hand, I felt quite a bit like a stranger, which is kind of a biblical reference to a stranger in a strange land. And I felt a little bit like that there were, you know, here is a place where there are, you know, people that look like me and who are from my same background, but on the other hand, I have such conflicted feelings in some ways that, you know, I feel like I don't really belong here anymore. And that's where the song Land of Milk and Honey comes from, kind of my feelings about that. And also just looking at it objectively, you know, here are two sides. You know, you can look at two mothers, both sides wanting the best for their children, both sides wanting peace in the future and for their children to grow up in a peaceful land. But in many ways, that just still doesn't seem like it's happening yet. Land of Milk and Honey kind of is taking both a personal and kind of outsider looking in view at what's going on there today.
It's certainly a very complex situation. Again, I want to thank you for spending the time with us today. Absolutely fabulous conversation. Our guest today has been Sharon Goldman. Her new album is entitled Kolisha, A Woman's Voice. And this is Land of Milk and Honey. Thanks again, Sharon.
Thank you so much.
You're listening to Folk Roots Radio, and I'm Jan Hall.
Land of milk and honey is bittersweet. The taste of blood and berries on my bitten tongue as I wander ancient streets. I am a stranger in a strange place where everything is so familiar. It's been so long since I've seen these faces that look like mine, but I don't belong in the land of milk and honey. Nothing is as it seems. War overlooks fields of wildflowers. Peace is buried in dreams. Every mother loves her sons and daughters on whichever side she stands. But hate runs deep like hidden water underneath the desert sand. Eretz Avat Chalav Chalav udvash, Eretz Avat Chalav, Chalav udvash. The land of milk and honey is filled with promise and fear. I ride the bus from the mountains to the sea and wonder why I'm here. There's a soldier sleeping next to me with a gun across his shoulder. The sun shines on his face as we pass olive trees and barbed wire. Eretz Avat Chalav, Chalav Udvash, Eretz Avat Chalav, Chalav Udvash.